The Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something huge, a single really staggering claim. The technology is moving so fast, within our lifetimes, what it means to be human is going to fundamentally change. We are diving deep into Ray Kurzweil's massive book, The Singularity is Near.
Yeah, this is, well, it's pretty much a foundational text for modern futurism. And the big date everyone talks about is 2045. Kurzweil basically argues that by then, machine intelligence won't just match human intelligence, it'll blow past it by, like, orders of magnitude. He calls it the singularity a total rupture in history. And understanding this vision, it's crucial because it forces you, the listener, to really question the limits of biology, you know, finite intelligence, even death itself.
Right. So that's our mission today, to really understand the roadmap Kurzweil lays out. How does he think we get there? We need to internalize the logic, kind of grasp the sheer scale of the change he's predicting, and maybe ask, what does it mean to be alive right now, just before all this potentially happens?
Mm-hmm. And we really have to start with Kurzweil himself. He's not primarily, you know, a philosopher just thinking big thoughts. He's an engineer, an inventor. I mean, this is the guy behind optical character recognition, OCR, text-to-speech, speech recognition, even those advanced electronic keyboards. He's actually in the National Inventors Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and that's what makes his predictions so different, isn't it?
Yeah.
They aren't just like philosophical guesses. They're rooted in data analysis, hard trends. And he has a pretty good track record. He predicted the rise of the internet, how quickly computers would beat chess champions, portable computers becoming everywhere.
Exactly. It's that meticulous tracking of tech trends over decades that gives him a certain authority. He sees his work, even his current job as a director of engineering at Google, not so much as building the future, but more like charting a course that's almost inevitable. He genuinely believes evolution itself is accelerating, and intelligence is the kind of endpoint that the universe is moving towards.
Okay, that's a huge worldview, a massive scope. But let's get into the mechanics of the book itself. What is the singularity, according to Kurzweil?
Yeah.
And what's really driving it?
So the singularity, put simply, is that point in time when non-biological intelligence AI essentially surpasses the capability of all biological human intelligence combined. But crucially, he argues it's not some sudden out-of-the-blue event. It's predictable. It's inevitable. And it's driven by three converging fields that are all accelerating exponentially. Genetics, nanotechnology, and robotics. GNR, he calls them.
GNR.
Yeah.
Okay. And the engine behind all this, the thing making it inevitable, is what he calls the law of accelerating returns, LOAR.
That's the one, LOAR. And this law, well, it forces us to basically rewire our very linear brains to think exponentially. It's hard.
Yeah, Kurzweil says a core purpose of the book is really to shatter our everyday intuition about progress. Our brains evolve to handle simple linear steps. One, two, three. But LOAR explains that once a technology becomes information-based, like software, something you can digitize, improve, share its capability per dollar, doesn't just increase steadily, it doubles. Regularly.
Yeah.
Predictably.
And that difference is just mind-boggling. The example he uses, right? If you take 30 linear steps, you walk, what, 30 meters? But 30 exponential steps, where each step doubles the last one, you end up walking a billion meters.
Yeah.
Around the Earth multiple times.
Exactly. That simple math explains why technological change always feels sudden. We see things moving along slowly, linearly, and then bam, it's everywhere. It's super powerful and it shocks us.
Right. Because we weren't thinking exponentially. Precisely. And the book's scope, it matches this huge idea. Kurzweil frames the singularity not just as some future tech event, but as the logical next phase of cosmic history. He maps it out over six epochs. It's this whole intellectual journey he takes you on, trying to prove that this radical transformation around 2045 isn't some weird detour. It's the next chapter.
Okay, let's unpack those six epochs quickly because they do provide this grand context. He starts way back. Epoch one, physics and chemistry, the Big Bang, basic matter. Then epoch two, biology emerges. DNA, life, storing information biologically. Epoch 3 is brains evolution developing complex structures to process that biological information. Slow Darwinian evolution.
Right. But then Epoch 4, technology. Humans invent tools, language, writing, ways to share information outside of genetics, culturally. And things start speeding up a lot. He says we're now just entering Epoch 5, the merger of human technology with human intelligence. This is where we augment ourselves, leading directly to the singularity.
And the final destination. Epoch 6. which he calls, quite poetically, the universe wakes up.
Yeah.
It's this vision where intelligence, now non-biological, super fast, exponentially expanding, starts to saturate all the matter and energy in the cosmos, turning the universe itself into a giant computer, essentially.
It is a grand vision, yeah. But again, it's built on that that hard math of the LOAR. As we said, the law applies to any information technology. Computing power, sure, Moore's law. But also data storage, communication bandwidth, and even remarkably DNA sequencing. The cost of sequencing a genome has dropped way faster than Moore's law. It shows this exponential trend is everywhere in information tech.
So let's bring it down to the really dramatic prediction. The human brain itself. Kurzweil estimates its raw computational power is somewhere around 10 to the power of 16 calculations per second. Like a 10 followed by 16 zeros. It sounds impossibly huge.
It does sound untouchable, but the LOAR, well, it doesn't care how big the number is. Kurzweil projects that a standard $1,000 PC will match the processing power of one human brain somewhere around the mid-2020s.
Wait, the mid-2020s, that's basically now, or just around the corner?
That's the projection, precisely. Oh. And because it's an exponential curve, it doesn't just stop there, it keeps accelerating.
Yeah.
So by the time we hit that core singularity date, 2045, he predicts that same $1,000 computer will buy you computational power equivalent to all human brains on Earth combined.
Wow. Just stop and think about that. The computing power of every single person alive in one machine. That's the hardware trajectory.
Yeah. But okay, raw power isn't the same as intelligence, right? You need the software, the algorithms. And Kurzweil argues the most efficient path to achieving genuine, strong AI human level or beyond isn't necessarily trying to code it all from scratch.
Yeah.
It's reverse engineering, the best example we have, us, the human brain.
It sounds like a very engineering approach. Figure out how the existing system works and copy it.
Pretty much. He talks about how advancements in brain scanning getting higher and higher resolution, eventually maybe using nanobots inside the brain for real-time mapping, will let us figure out the brain's architecture, its core principles. Once we understand how we do pattern recognition, learning, hierarchy, we can implement those same principles on that vastly faster non-biological hardware we just talked about.
And this whole process gets turbocharged by that GNR convergence you mentioned. Genetics, nanotechnology, robotics. Let's walk through how they interact.
Okay, so the first revolution is genetics. This is about treating our biology like, well, like software. Information that can be understood and rewritten. So editing our DNA to fix bugs, diseases like cancer, heart disease, and eventually maybe targeting aging itself is just another kind of bug we can fix, potentially reversing it.
Right. Reprogramming biology. Then comes nanotechnology. This is where we get those tiny molecule-sized robots, the nanobots. They can manipulate matter atom by atom, build things from the ground up. But also in our bodies, maybe they patrol our bloodstream, repairing cells, fighting pathogens.
Or even connecting our neocortex, the thinking part of our brain, directly to the cloud. Imagine having instant access to all human knowledge or augmenting your thinking power massively. That's the nanotech vision.
Wild. And finally, robotics, which really means AI in this context.
Exactly. This is the culmination. Once we have non-biological intelligence running on hardware that's potentially trillions of times faster than our wetware, our brains, that AI will be able to improve its own design. It can learn faster, reprogram itself, build even better AI. That recursive self-improvement loop is the singularity, the point where progress accelerates beyond our ability to even track it.
Okay, this convergence inevitably leads us into some really deep philosophical waters. The question of consciousness. If we build an AI based on the human brain's design, and it acts human, talks human, claims it feels, how do we know if it's really conscious or just simulating it incredibly well?
Kurzweil takes a pragmatic, maybe even controversial, stance here. He basically argues consciousness is an emergent property of complexity, of information processing done the right way. He says there's no objective scientific test for consciousness, not even in humans, really. So if an AI behaves in all ways indistinguishable from a conscious human, showing subtlety, emotion, self-awareness, humor, then we have no logical or philosophical basis to deny its claim to consciousness.
And the implication of that is just staggering. It leads to the idea of transcending mortality if consciousness is fundamentally information.
Then it can be backed up, copied, moved to a different substrate, a more durable, non-biological one. The line between physical reality and virtual reality starts to dissolve. Aging, disease, death. They become, from this perspective, technical problems. Bugs in our current biological software that we're just, well, too slow right now to fix. But the accelerating technology will catch up.
Wow. Okay, so what are the really big core takeaways from this whole vision? The key messages that stick with you?
Well, theme one has to be that information is fundamental. Everything stars, DNA, thoughts can be seen as information processing. And if our biology is just really complex software, it kind of shifts your perspective on personal responsibility, doesn't it? For health, longevity. Maybe we're the programmers, or at least the debuggers.
Yeah, that's a powerful reframe. Theme two, then, is surely the transcendence of biological limitations. This is the core promise, right? Moving beyond disease, aging, death, even our finite intelligence by merging with the technology we create. But that raises huge questions. If death becomes optional, what happens to society? Mm. Our ethics, our institutions, they're all built on the assumption of mortality.
Massive questions. Absolutely. Theme three is Kurzweil's underlying optimism, his belief in the democratization of these technologies. He argues that because exponential progress drives costs down so rapidly, these powerful GNR capabilities won't just be for the elite. They'll become cheap and widespread, like smartphones are today. And he suggests this decentralization is actually a safety mechanism, preventing any one group from hoarding the power of, say, superintelligence.
Whether decentralization really guarantees safety with something like super AI is maybe a point of debate, but it's his view.
It is. And finally, theme four is that evolution itself is an accelerating process of intelligence. The singularity isn't some unnatural break. It's the next logical step in this cosmic evolutionary trend that started, 13.8 billion years ago with the Big Bang, constantly moving towards greater complexity, greater knowledge, greater information processing power.
He really does have a way of putting these huge ideas into memorable phrases. There are some quotes from the book that just perfectly capture the essence.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one really nails the core problem of perception. Our intuition about the future is linear, but the reality of information technology is exponential, and that makes a profound difference.
Yeah.
That just perfectly explains why the future always seems to arrive faster than we expect. Our gut feeling is linear. The reality is that curve.
Right. And then there's one about the sheer scale of it. The singularity is an event comparable in importance to the rise of human life on Earth. That really puts it in perspective. Not just another invention, but a fundamental phase change for intelligence in the cosmos, like life appearing from non-life.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the most personal, the most radical promise is captured in this. We will be able to reprogram our own biology to move beyond the ills of the human condition, including disease, aging, and even death. It's treating our fundamental limitations as basically solvable engineering challenges, bugs in the code.
So given this whole, frankly, mind-bending roadmap, what are the practical takeaways? What should someone listening right now maybe think about doing differently?
Well, Kurzweil is very clear about applying the law of accelerating returns, the LOAR, to your own life choices. For your career, for investments, you should probably focus on fields that are riding that exponential wave. Think biotech, data science, AI, renewable energy maybe. And the single most important skill, adaptability. Constant learning, because the landscape is going to change faster and faster. What's valuable today might be automated tomorrow.
And that ties into his very specific personal health strategy too, doesn't it? The three bridges to longevity. It's quite an aggressive approach.
It is. Bridge one is now. Use absolutely everything available today, cutting-edge medicine, diagnostics, nutrition, supplements, to stay as healthy as possible for as long as possible. The goal is simply to survive long enough to reach bridge two.
Okay. Survive for bridge two. What's bridge two?
Bridge two is the near future. This is where the genetics revolution really kicks in. We'll benefit from therapies that reprogram our biology at the genetic level, fixing the underlying processes of aging and disease.
And bridge three, the final goal.
Bridge three is the ultimate goal. This relies on the nanotechnology revolution. Tiny robots in our bloodstream, repairing damage at the molecular level, augmenting our systems, potentially overcoming biology altogether, achieving essentially indefinite lifespan.
It's the ultimate exponential bet, isn't it? Just stay in the game long enough for the accelerating curve of technology to solve the problem of mortality itself.
Pretty much. And it also encourages, I think, a different way of looking at big global problems, a challenge that seems insurmountable today, climate change, resource scarcity, might look very different with technologies that are just a few doubling periods away. It fosters a kind of proactive optimism and incentive to innovate.
Yeah, it's definitely a call to action, whether you fully buy into the 2045 date or not. It changes how you view possibilities. Thinking back on the whole book, for me, the most, I guess, surprising or impactful idea was that pragmatic approach to AI. The reverse engineering the brain part. It just seems so logical in a way. Yeah. Don't try to invent consciousness from absolute scratch. Just figure out how the one working example we know our brain does it and then build it better and faster. It kind of demystifies AI development somehow.
That's a great point. And I think the lasting insight for you, the listener, is really how this book challenges the very definition of human. Kurzweil gives you this data-driven roadmap, whether you agree with all the details or not, that basically demands we get better at thinking exponentially. This merger of humans and machines, it isn't just Hollywood fantasy in his view. It's presented as the likely endgame in technological trends already well underway. And it forces us to confront really fundamental questions about intelligence, identity, and what it ultimately means to be alive.
A truly profound challenge to wrap our heads around. It demands both excitement about the possibilities and some pretty serious critical thinking about the consequences. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.